Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Mile High Hoops with Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Zach Bye. Thank you for stopping by. Really appreciate it. Just sort of putting a bow on this Denver Nuggets season. A big, old, awesome bow. Before I glossed the Nuggets for what they did in making history, we got to remember, and I mentioned this a couple months ago when we first came back, like the doubt that we had that basketball was even going to be played. Like we're not actually that far removed from it, but it feels like we are because of how much has happened between then and now. So just a small second of appreciation that we had Nuggets basketball back. And for them to restart in the bubble and be maybe the most discombobulated team to kick things off among bubble teams, with guys not being there, guys actually getting COVID, with the coach, the star player, like you think about all the dynamics at play in addition to the injuries. Whether it was Jamal, whether it was Gary, whether it was Will Barton, who we unfortunately never got to see. The fact that we went from that point thinking that there was going to be no basketball. And then, okay, the idea of basketball coming back came into focus. And the Nuggets just being absolutely incomplete. And then for them to do what they did, it's all part of this overarching story that I love telling and that we'll be telling for a long, long time from now. I mean, this was nothing short of historic and just a massive kudos to the resiliency of the organization to not only cross through the threshold that we established at the beginning of the year of like the unequivocal success bar, that it was, look, if doesn't matter how it comes, if these guys are playing in the Western Conference Finals, then what a massive, massive victory that would be. It would be, everyone would be, I think the way I phrased it was that at the time that, and maybe even since then, I've probably repeated myself, Lord knows, since then saying, hey, if the thing that will make us all look around at each other, shaking our head yes with conviction about a successful Nuggets season would be to get into the Western Conference Finals. And there was other scenarios where that it could qualify as a successful season as well. And we talked about that. Like if you were in the second round against the Clippers and, you know, you lost in, you know, game six or game seven, could that quantify given, you know, the incredible dynamics and the nature of this bubble and the restart and, you know, the injuries or whatever. Like I think we were to that point where we were like, yeah, I think that could qualify as success. The fact that they came back twice. Now, part of that is self-induced for sure, especially with the Jazz series. But the fact that they came back twice, made history, first team ever to do it against the prohibited title favorites. It's just, you talk about an organizational slam dunk and defying the odds. That's the 2020 Denver Nuggets. We will remember this team, not just as Denver Nugget fans, but we'll remember this team as sports fans. The same way that sports fans still look back at, you know, Dikembe Mutombo clutching the ball on the floor, however many years ago that is. That's an NBA moment. This is also an NBA moment. This is very much an NBA moment. It's all-time stuff. And I thought that a lot of things that Nuggets fans have been clamoring for came to fruition this year. And it all comes from a good place when I say Nuggets fans been clamoring for. What does that mean? Well, that's a high arcing conversation as well. Waiting for Jokic to get the credit that he deserves. Waiting for Jamal Murray to truly turn a corner. Waiting for the national media to give the Nuggets their props. We saw all three of those things happen. We literally saw all three of those things happen. And I just think that, you know, you could go every jot and tittle down the line with the micro successes that ultimately led to this historical window. And, you know, I mentioned Jamal, that, you know, Jamal, there's been questions around Jamal, and fairly, like, and we've talked about him for a couple years here on the podcast. Can he ever cross through that threshold and be the guy that the Nuggets hoped he would be when they drafted him seventh overall back in 2016? And him repeatedly answering the call when it matters most showed me personally a side of Jamal Murray that I had never seen before. And by me seeing those things continuously, my arc for Jamal changes, which directly affects the arc of the Denver Nuggets. He was flat out brilliant, and he was tough doing it. And it was over and over and over against the best competition that this league has to offer. He was great. He was great. And he deserves his own unique shout out. I mean, he has got to be walking on air after what he did. He not only really the true coming out party, and we'll look back as NBA fans, like Nuggets fans, I think you'll remember some of the big games from him in the past. I think it was game two against the Spurs last year in the 2019 season, down 0-1. He was awesome. You remember a regular season game against the Celtics when he scored 47, I believe it was. But as basketball fans, that first round series, that was the Jamal Murray coming out party from coast to coast, the awareness. This was the awareness year. We talk about this oftentimes with like Pro Bowls and All-Star games. Typically, you get voted into an All-Star game and get that on your resume for, yes, what you did that year, but you're also being awarded, like it or not, for what you have done in the previous season. And I think you'll see Jamal Murray selected to the All-Star game next year because of how terrific he's going to be next year, combined with the Nuggets' terrific schedule record that I believe that they'll have around the All-Star break, same way that they did this past year, same way that they did in 2019, even with Mike Malone coaching the team. So I think you're going to see that come to fruition because of this awareness period of time for Jamal. The 50-42-50, and then he follows it up in the Clippers series with, you know, 27 points in a game two victory, the 26 in a game five victory, the 40 in a game seven victory. Like, that's awesome stuff. That's awesome stuff. And then, you know, even in the Lakers series, the 28 points in the game three victory. He follows it up with 32. I mean, Jamal just crossed over into a different space this postseason, and I'm happy to say that some of my doubts about Jamal were proved wrong. Not that they weren't fair doubts at the time, but ultimately were proved wrong. And I will absolutely raise my hand and say that. I think a lot of Nuggets fans are doing that, and that's good. Guys, it's okay to be wrong. Can I just have like a 2020 moment here? Like, it's okay to be wrong. Like, in the social media echo chamber galaxy that we're living in, it's all about I told you so. We're never wrong. You pick a side and you polarize the other and you never forgive anyone for anything. And I refuse to live like that. So let me proudly say I was wrong about some of the consistency doubts about Jamal Murray. Nikola Jokic, let me just talk about him for a brief second, and I have a prediction for you guys. The transformation between pre-bubble and post-bubble for Nikola Jokic and the level of accountability that he accepted during the stoppage with getting his body to a place where it should be when this is your life, like that's been a challenge of mine through the years with Jokic, like, is this your life? Have you dedicated your life over to this? And if you did, how does your body look like that while the other thing is simultaneously true? And I just didn't believe it was true. Now that he has done this with his body, and look, Nikola put up the production a year ago when he was the thicker version of himself. I just think that if he shows up to this coming season with the same sort of off-season fervor that he had during the stoppage, I think Nikola Jokic could be the MVP of the league next year. And I think the Denver Nuggets will be the one seed if he's that guy. I really believe that with everything that I have. I think that the Nuggets can be the one seed. I love their roster moving forward. And I think Nikola Jokic, if he doesn't win the MVP, will finish in the top three in voting. And I want you to put that in your back pocket because I have real conviction about that. Because there's another level of accountability that he reached as well, not in terms of just accepting it and doing it, but you showed the world that you can do it. So now if you revert back to how you showed up to Media Day this year, there's a bigger, not target, but, you know, launching off point for criticism. And I hope that he is consistent with this. I hope that he does. And I think that if he is that guy, then he ultimately, because he's still getting better too. Like Nikola, to think that, you know, he's what we've seen from Nikola Jokic last season, this season is the best version of who he can be. He's still only 25 years old. So you think about these great players in NBA history, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, and they come back the following year with something new in their game. I'm looking for like that type of dedication. And if he brings that type of dedication, I think he'll win the MVP and the Nuggets will be the one seed. I really believe that. So just going over some of the other Nuggets, Paul Millsap, I'd be okay if he never starts another game for the Nuggets. If you want to bring him back, if Tim Connelly and Mike Malone want to bring him back on a veteran minimum contract, I'd be perfectly okay with that. I think that'd be a good thing. But I think that this team's trajectory and Paul Millsap's career trajectory, they've crossed an intersection point. One continues to rise and the other one just continues to fall. I know some of the advanced defensive numbers on him speak higher to his game at this point. But I'm seeing a guy that's athleticism is not only fleeting, it has left him. He is 35 years old. Next year, he'll be 36. It was a good signing by the Nuggets. I thought I've talked about him being a defensive rudder for this team for the last couple years. He didn't have that same level or same presence in 2020. So for Paul, hey, you know, thanks for the time spent. But unfortunately, I think his days as a starter on a team that is a championship hopeful, it's not congruent anymore. It just doesn't make sense. Gary Harris, look, this is a guy who defensively is terrific. And when we talked about Gary, like even as recent as 2 years ago, it's like, hey, this guy is, you know, one of the better two-way players in the game. That statement is no longer really true. All right, it's just not. He is a one-way player. He's a defensive player. The offensive woes, hard to watch. You know, we've talked about it here on the podcast, the regression of 18 points a game when he's, you know, 22, and now he's down to, you know, 10 points a game when he's 26. That's not good. And a little bit surprising, you know, after watching him for a handful of years now, a little bit surprising. The shooting was just hard to watch, you know, at points. And you just can't have an offensive albatross on the perimeter like Gary in moments that matter, like this series against the Lakers. You know, 1-for-5 in game 5, 1-for-5 in game 4. He was 2-for-7 to start the series, 1-for-6 in game 2. So, yeah, that was hard to watch. And, you know, he had moments at the back end of the Clippers series that changed the team. And it shows you, like, what this team could be when he's scoring, like, 14, 16 points a game. Not lighting the world on fire, but going, like, 5-for-11. Like, keeping defenses honest. It changed the dynamic. But all too often, the opposite dynamic was true. So, I don't know what the future holds for Gary. I would love to see him regain some of that form. Could he be shopped? Maybe. But that's a big old contract. I'm not sure they'll be able to move on from that easily. We'll see. But look, in the final game against Los Angeles, when it's win or go home, he played 13 minutes. So, yeah. Moving on to Michael Porter Jr. And that being said, by the way, like with Gary, he changed the Clippers series. when he came back. So it's not all bad with Gary. That's for sure. Defensively, he's the best perimeter defender they have. So not to reduce him down to his offense by any means. Michael Porter Jr., I thought this was a fascinating season. Just to sit back and watch from a guy who, you know, in the last game before the bubble, I think he played like 5 minutes against the Dallas Mavericks. And there he was, you know, in certain games playing major minutes, his last game against the Lakers, 17 minutes. It was fun to watch, man, those moments, those highs. Yeah, like the lows were lows, okay. You know, he's got a long way to go as a defender, no doubt. But the highs, like those moments of, oh my gosh, you know, just as I was talking about, hey, we need to be appreciative of the fact that, like, NBA basketball actually came back, and because we get so, you know, caught up in the games and stuff, we forget how we felt just a couple months prior. The same logic applies to Michael Porter Jr. and his health. You know, it's like no one talks about his health anymore. Like, I didn't hear it once, I don't think, on the broadcast during these playoffs. Seriously. Like, that was the biggest question here, is could this guy hold up after not playing basketball literally in years? And not only did he hold up, I didn't think there was really a hiccup with his health. With hard falls, you know, I don't say regularly, but we've seen him take hard falls and him just bounce back up. And I think that, you know, talking about, you know, Murray changing the trajectory from his micro level and changing the macro for the Nuggets, same exact conversation applies with Michael Porter Jr. He could bring this team to a level that they've never been before. Where if you get to a point where we're referring to Michael Porter Jr., whether it's next year or the year after, as a star, you're talking about three stars. And you look at the history of this league and the way that teams have been able to win championships, they are top-heavy teams. Right? Like look at the Los Angeles Lakers. We talked about how the Nuggets were maybe better in, you know, player number, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever, however you decipher that for yourself. You also need that top-heavy nature. And if Michael Porter Jr. can cross through as that guy, well, the Nuggets are just onto something that they haven't been onto in the history of their organization, quite frankly. And the fact that, by the way, he looks like a star and carries himself like a star and is as interesting to casual NBA fans as a star would be with that type of potential, I just think is fascinating and interesting from a Nuggets standpoint and an NBA standpoint. Jeremy Grant, got to find a way to get him back. He opted out of his player option, and I know the Nuggets have his bird rights. I am so bullish on Jeremy Grant. I absolutely love his game. If you've been listening to this podcast, you've heard me talk about it from the time that they traded for him. I just think he is the perfect fit for this basketball team. Doesn't need the ball to thrive. Catch and shoot guy that's vastly improved his 3-point percentage, just about as good as anyone else in the league from the time that they come in as rookies to where they're at now. Incredible athlete, long, can defend. I mean, if you were to put together, splice together, you know, his defensive efforts through these playoffs, you'd have quite a highlight. I mean, he was fun to watch. And I love Jeremy Grant. And now, Tim Connelly and this organization, the Cronkies, they're really going to have to open up their wallet, because this is a guy who's made himself a lot of money, this postseason. And I know sometimes watching him shoot the basketball in the second round series was hard to watch, especially from three. He was, you know, brutal from three, let's just be honest. And the team, really, in the Western Conference Finals, the team shot horrifically. And I've seen numbers out there, like uncontested three-point shots shooting like 25%. Like when you are 75% likely to miss an open three in the NBA playoffs, you're probably doomed, which ultimately the Nuggets were against just a better Lakers team. And those shots needed to fall to make up some of that gap. But back to Jeremy Grant, he did shoot it much better in the Western Conference Finals, literally doubling his average series over series from beyond the arc. And that was awesome to see. He can put it on the deck. Superior athlete. Just huge, huge fan of Jeremy Grant. Still ascending. Still very much ascending. This is a guy who's 26. Now, you look at how many games he's played in the NBA. He's played a lot. He's played almost 500 games. 450, something like that. But he's still just 26 years old and getting better. So I am really excited about the future. This basketball team was a pleasure to watch. I thought this year was monumental in so many ways that we've talked about. Credit Mike Malone for, you know, I still believe, and I've said this throughout the last 2 years specifically, I believe Mike Malone's the right coach for this team. And although there was moments throughout this journey where you've questioned things, and fairly so, you've had some doubts, but I walk away from this season coming full circle on my thoughts on Mike Malone. And I've never been on this fire Mike Malone. I mean, people are super reactionary, and that's just the world we live in, going back to the 2020 little diatribe from earlier. No, Mike Malone does not deserve to get fired. I am anxious to see what he does with this group moving forward. And finally, credit Tim Connelly. This is his group. This is his vision. And it he's the architect, man. He's pulling the strings. And I give him the most credit, man. The most credit. He turns down the Wizards job. He does what I think is the harder thing, staying here in Denver and trying to win a championship. And gosh, they man, didn't they make you proud if you're a Nuggets fan? Didn't they make you proud? Everyone involved, massive, massive, massive kudos. And that's where we'll leave it for now. We will check in here throughout the offseason, maybe during the finals once or twice. But on the way out here, just thank you so much, you know, for checking in here, whether this is your first time or your 50th time listening to the Mile High Hoops podcast. I really, really appreciate it. You coming by here and spending some time with me and riding shotgun. So thank you so much. And wow, what a season. What a season. And it's been a pleasure talking about it right here with you on the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Oh, hey, didn't realize you were listening. Well, let's make this quick. And don't touch that dial. We're Rocky Mountain Forest Products, and we're not aggressive. We're passionate. And we're not going to blast you with facts you don't need. But when you do, visit rmfp.com. Whether you're in need of fencing, decking, or siding information, it's all there. And best of all, it's free. No one likes a salesman, so we're not going to sell you. Whether you need the info or not, just remember rmfp.com. You do you, Colorado. You do you.